Let's go ahead and look at Luke chapter number 1. We're going to jump right into that here in just a few minutes. But before we do, of course, we've been talking about Christmas, obviously. And I asked several people today, I said, Merry Christmas. Am I the first one to tell you that? And I've had most people say no, but I did have one person tell me yes. And so I felt really good about myself about for doing that. When I think about Christmas, one of my earliest recollections of Christmas, I can remember hearing my dad making some noise in the living room after I had already gone to bed. He probably doesn't remember this, but I heard him making some noise in the living room, so I got up and I walked into the living room and saw him playing some kind of game on the TV. Now, this is back in the day when you wanted to change the channel. That's why you had kids, to have them go up there and change the channel. You guys know what I'm talking about? We lost our remote like 2 weeks ago, and I said, Andrew, go change the channel. Dad, I said, listen, now you know what it was like to grow up in the age that I grew up in, right? How many of you guys ever lived before remote controls? Anybody? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How many of you guys have never had to actually touch a TV to change a channel? Anyone has always used a remote and never had to actually touch the TV? Okay, there's one. All right. There's a few of the younger guys. They don't even know what I'm talking about. This is like ancient to them. I can remember getting up and seeing him play a game on there, and I had no idea what it was, and he quickly said, go back to bed. So I did. And I can remember waking up that Christmas morning, and they gave us a ColecoVision. How many of you guys remember ColecoVision? All right, good. We had one. The only game that we had on ColecoVision. I don't know if it was the most popular one, the only one that came with it or whatever. Anybody know what game it was? Donkey Kong. I heard somebody say it. How many of you guys remember Donkey Kong? Oh, yeah, man. That was my first introduction. Maybe I played Pong before that, but we never had it at home. But I can remember playing Donkey Kong there and had a great time with that. But as a kid, I not only remember that, but I can remember the countless times that you'd hear people say, what do you want for Christmas? What are you hoping you'll get for Christmas? How many of you guys had somebody ask you that already this year multiple times, right? What do you want for Christmas? So we did a sermon series that we started a couple weeks ago, and we're calling it All I Want for Christmas Is. And we've been talking about the different things that we want for Christmas. And we asked you to write some of those things on that board back there in the back. And I wanted to share some of the things that some people wrote down on the board in case you didn't take time to stop and look at it. We had several people that were asking for some things that are near and dear to their heart. The first person that we have here asking for healing. That's a good thing for Christmas, right? Another person asked for a job. That's something that they're wanting to get for Christmas. Another person said they've been praying and hoping that their family would come to church with them. And I'm not sure who wrote that. Maybe that came true today, or I'm not sure how that worked out there. But then you had people that weren't quite as spiritual. One person put more hair. And look around you and point at someone if you think they... No, don't do that. If you think they wrote it down. Someone else said, all my teeth. And here we go. Amen. Amen. My wife right now is going, leave your tooth in, Josh. Leave your tooth in. Because those of you that don't know, I just had this front tooth removed just about 2 months ago, and I love to take it out and show kids. But my mom, when she saw me do it for the first time, she said, Josh, leave that thing in public, all right? So I'm going to leave my tooth in. And I did not write that on the board. Another person wrote, a beard like Dave Horner's. Dave, stand up and show us that beard. Yeah, all right. Yeah. He'll be taking pictures and signing autographs after the service today, all right? And my favorite one, I'm not sure who wrote this, but to eat bread and not get fat. Yeah, I like that. I like that. All of us have some different things that we wish we could have for Christmas. And to be honest with you, I hope that all of us get the things that we wrote on that board. But this series is not so much about what we want for Christmas as much as it is about what God would want for us for Christmas. We've talked about the first two things that I believe are the desire of the heart of God for every one of his children. I believe those first two things that we've talked about are two things that God wants for every one of his children to experience and to have in their life. The first one was joy. We talked about all I want for Christmas is joy, and I believe it's the heart of God for every one of his children to have joy. And the second one is what we talked about last week, and that was hope. I believe that it's the desire of the heart of God for every one of his children to have hope. Today, I'd like to talk about peace. I'd like to talk about peace. I believe that it is the heart of God. The desire of the heart of God is for every one of his children to have peace. This season that we celebrate peace on earth and goodwill toward men should be filled with joy, with hope, and with peace. But for many people, Christmas season is really just the opposite. You know, a lot of us go to our Christmas parties and get-togethers. We had our first one yesterday, and I enjoy those kinds of things, and I look forward to them. But a lot of people don't like Christmas as much because it brings up a lot of harsh realities and difficult times, terrible memories in their lives. The holiday season has the highest suicide rates of any time of year. Today, I want to see what the Bible says about finding peace in the midst of circumstances that are far from peaceful. You know, peace is something that every living person desires. Well, except for those drama queens. How many of you guys know someone that's a little bit of a drama queen? Maybe we call them an instigator. Well, those hands went up fast. Say their name out loud. 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay, I didn't think you would. All right, I like it. All right. We all know somebody that's a drama queen, all right? And I hope I didn't just start a family fight on the way home, okay? But all of us know someone. Maybe you've got that Facebook friend, you know, that they're always having to put their two cents in, and you're just thinking, could you just shut up, you know? A lot of us have those people that like to instigate. But the majority of us, we want peace in our lives, you know? We don't like the drama. I like to do this and go, this right here is a drama-free zone, all right? If you've got drama, that's right. Save it for your mama. Thanks, Doug. And so it's important for us to understand that the majority of us want peace, though. There are songs about peace. There are books about peace, marches for peace, charities and organizations dedicated to peace. But the truth is, there's a lot of people that live without it, aren't there? There's a lot of people that live without peace. Peace can be defined as tranquility and absence of war or harmony. Some people describe it as those first few minutes before the children get out of bed in the morning. Yeah, those of you that have children understand that one. On the way home last night, we have an app on the phone where you can bring up pretty much any song that you want to listen to, and I love technology. And I was able to do that, and we went around the van, and I said, all right, Andrew, what song do you want to listen to? And I'm not going to tell you which one he picked. And then I said, Gracie, what song do you want to listen to? And she told me, and then Emma, what song do you want to listen to? She told me, and I said to my wife, I said, Misty, what song do you want to listen to? And she said, nothing. I enjoy silence. And those of you that have young children at home can certainly appreciate that. But, you know, there are many of us, I think all of us, have periods of peace throughout our lives, times that there is no drama, times that our bills are paid and we're healthy. Of course, then we get married and we have in-laws and all that goes out the window. Just kidding. Are my in-laws in here somewhere? Pointing, all right? I can feel the lasers coming into my head right now, right? Most people think of peace as an emotion that comes as a result of blessing or good times. But you know what the Bible says about peace? The Bible says that God offers a peace that passes all understanding. You've heard that phrase before, right? Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, everyone understands peace when there is no drama, right? Everyone understands peace when the family's getting along. You don't have to worry if, you know, aunt so-and-so or a cousin so-and-so or mom-in-law so-and-so is going to say something that's just going to get everybody going. You know, we understand peace when everybody is getting along, and we understand peace when no one's in the hospital, and we understand peace when our bills are paid. But the Bible says that there is a time that God offers a peace that is beyond our understanding, and I believe that the peace God offers is a peace that can be present despite our circumstances. And that's why we say that it's beyond our understanding, or it passes all understanding. It's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. We understand that in Galatians 5, the Bible talks about the fruit that the Spirit of God produces in our lives. And one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You know, peace is not something that we can work up. Peace is not something that we can pull the strings and manipulate situations to manufacture some kind of peace in our lives. Peace is something that only God can produce. And he produces it by his Spirit, and that's why it passes all understanding. Peace is not just for the most serene moments in life. It's for times when negative circumstances spin out of control and our emotions churn with fear. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this to his apostles. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, look, the peace that I give you isn't the same peace that the world offers. You know, most of us search for peace during those difficult times, don't we? That's what we want. We just want everybody to get along. You know, can't we all just get along? We all want to get along, and we all want to be able to get rid of the drama and have peace in our lives. And oftentimes, we turn to the peace that the world giveth. You know, I mentioned earlier that this time of year is oftentimes one of the highest rates of suicides. It's also one of the highest times that people turn to substance abuse. You know, because of the lack of peace during a time that's supposed to be full of peace, people search for peace through a bottle. They search for it through a drug. They search for it through selfishness or ungodly relationships. Some people search for it through stuff. You know, maybe we wrote something down on the board and we thought, man, if I can just have this, then I'll have peace in my life. You know, a lot of us search for peace that the world offers, but we understand that these things are only temporary solutions. They may take our minds off of our pain for short periods of time, but they usually leave us with more pain than when we started. So, how do we find peace? Where do we find peace? Peace according to the Word of God during these difficult times. I mean, just stop and think about what would it be like to have a family function with peace? What would it be like? Someone's going, man, I hope I find out someday, right? What would it be like to have a marriage that has peace? Don't say amen right there, okay? You'll be in a lot of trouble. What would it be like to have a job where there's peace? What would it be like? I mean, stop and think about this. What would it be like to turn on the news every day and there was peace? You know? Where do we find this peace? This morning, I'm not going to give you a list of things to do to make your circumstances better because, you know, we can't control our circumstances. But we will see how God can bring peace in the midst of these difficult times. One of God's purposes of sending Jesus Christ, his son, was to offer us peace. We saw that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 where it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace is found, first of all, in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26, as we're going to read a little bit about Mary and how she found out that Jesus was on his way, okay? And the first way that we can see that God can develop peace in our lives, peace that we can't develop, but peace that only his Spirit can bring, the first way we see that come is when we believe the promises of God. Listen, we'll never have the peace of God if we don't believe the promises of God. Look what it says in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. It's talking about Mary here, and it says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, right here, we're thinking, man, what an awesome time it must have been. Here she is, she's doing her thing, and all of a sudden, woo, angels appear. There's a bright light or something, you know. And you just imagine, I don't know if Gabriel was like hovering over with his angel or with his wings, you know, going, or if I don't know, he's standing on the ground. I don't know if he had a big old sword in his hand. I don't know exactly what the angel looked like, but one thing I do know is it scared her to death. How many of you guys think it'd scare you if you saw the angel there, right? It says there in verse number 29, after that angel says that to her, it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. When she was troubled, that means she was scared. She was nervous. She didn't know what to think about this. I think we could gather that there was not a whole lot of peace in that situation, right? She was troubled, it says, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's thinking in her mind, she's troubled. She's going, what in the world is going on? I don't understand all of this. Her circumstances were far from peaceful. And so the angel continues in verse 30 and tells her what's going on. He says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? How's this going to happen? See, and I know not a man. I'm still a virgin, is what she's saying. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. When we think of the nativity, we think of it as a very peaceful and serene thing with the barn and the animals and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels. But boy, once you start reading the story, it's not very peaceful, is it? Not peaceful at all. And we've talked about that over the last few weeks, so we won't rehearse all of those things. We think of it as peaceful, but we know that there were crazy circumstances surrounding. But do you know why she was able to have peace in the midst of these crazy circumstances? Because of the way that she reacted in this next verse. Verse number 38, after the angel says these crazy things to her, she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She says, here I am. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed unto her. Or departed from her. You know what she was saying? She was saying, if that's what you're saying is going to be true, if that's really what's going to happen, then let it be. You know, if you've made these promises that he's going to be the Messiah, and he's Emmanuel, he's God with us, if that's true, then let it be in my life. She trusted God, and she believed his promise. You see, we talk a lot about faith, and we talk a lot about, man, you got to trust God, you got to trust God. But we talk about God's sovereignty and that he knows what he's doing. But oftentimes, there comes times in our lives where these theological beliefs have to be moved to a personal choice of trust. You know, it's easy to say, I trust God when there is no drama. It's easy to say, I trust God when the bills are paid. And it's easy to say, I trust God when we are healthy. But it's during the difficult times, times that are crazy with circumstances that don't make any sense and we see no way. And God says, look, with me, there's nothing impossible. That's when a theological belief about God has to be turned into a personal choice that is made by us to either believe God or to lean on our own understanding. I think of the book of Daniel. They've been studying in Tom Sedlick's life group upstairs, and one of the most interesting stories in Scripture is about those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody know their original names? I got a dollar to somebody who can name all three right now. One, two, three. There's one. No. Close. What was it? Hananiah? Mishael, you're not getting a dollar, all right? Very good, all right. Harry, you got all three of those. And so I'll give you a dollar after the service. Don't let me forget, okay? But you think about those three guys. They talked about, hey, we're Hebrew children. You know, we believe God. We trust God. Well, here they are. They're trusting God, and the Babylonians come in. The Babylonians take over their nation, and they take them hostage. They take them captive, take them back. They put them in their Egyptian schools and everything else, and they tell them they can't worship God anymore. As a matter of fact, they're supposed to bow down to the big old idol, remember, of, was it Nebuchadnezzar there? And they're supposed to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, you know, we're not bowing down. And they said, well, that's fine. You don't have to bow down, but if you don't, we're going to throw your rear end in the furnace, right? We're going to turn it up seven times hotter, so hot that the people that throw you into the furnace are going to die throwing you in. And they said, look, we don't just say that we trust God. We really do trust God. And they said, look, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we're going to trust him anyway. And can I tell you the reason that those three boys were able to have peace in the midst of a fiery time in their life was because they had a rock-solid foundation that was based upon the truth of the promises of God. And one of the reasons that many of us as believers lack peace is because we don't know the promises of God, or we're not claiming those promises during those difficult times. It's during these times that we really find out what we believe. Is God able? Is he sovereign? Is he in control? If we don't believe that he is, we won't know peace. Listen, Mary had an angel. You know, angel appeared, and the angel gave her a promise. We don't have angels that appear to us, all right? But what we do have is what she didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us if we're children of his. If we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Plus, we have the entire Word of God in our hands, and we have the Holy Spirit of God that bears witness that we are his children, and he shows us things out of his Word that are promises from him. Things like what it says in Isaiah 41, where the Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand and my righteousness. You know, it's during difficult times that we can turn to a passage like Isaiah 41, where the Bible says, fear not. Why? Because God's with us. You know, it's during difficult times we can turn to passages like Romans 8, where the Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That God has a purpose. It's said later on in that chapter in verse 28, where it says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What are these? These are promises from God. These are the things that we need to turn to during difficult times. You see, an awareness of and a belief in the promises of God's sovereignty, the fact that he's in control, refocuses my circumstances on an eternal perspective, allowing God to produce peace. You remember, where does peace come from? Galatians 5 says it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so if it's going to come from the Spirit, I've got to get peace God's way. You know, peace doesn't come when a certain person doesn't show up at Christmas. All right, now you may be hoping they don't, and you may not have sent them an invitation, you know, and maybe you're trying to keep it from everybody. But peace doesn't come when all the circumstances line up right. Peace isn't going to come when the person that you like gets voted in to the presidency next year. All right, should we say who we're all voting for on three? One, two. Just kidding, don't do that. Politics, and that could get ugly real fast, right? But a lot of people think, well, there'll be peace, you know, once we get this, you know, these bills taken care of, and there'll be peace once. Listen, you don't have to wait for your circumstances to get lined up. If you'll go to the promises of God and cling to his word and what he has said here, his Spirit will produce a peace that passes all understanding, because that peace comes even in the midst of dark times. Not only do we find peace when we believe God's promises, but number two, we find peace whenever we follow his leading. In Matthew chapter 1 is not when an angel appeared to Mary, but in Matthew 1 it's actually the story of when an angel appeared to Joseph. And it says this in Matthew 1 and verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, where they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. We talked about this last week. We talked about what he's wanting to do here. He's wanting to be done with her. You know, she's pregnant, you know. That's not the way that I kind of imagine things going, all right? And he says, I'm done with her. And the Bible says that while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Again, we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, but the angel gives him a promise. The angel says, look, she hasn't been unfaithful to you. The angel says, look, what is going on is part of the divine plan of God from the very beginning, you know. She's going to give birth to the Messiah, and he says, fear not. And he gives him a promise. Can I tell you the reason that Joseph was able to have peace in the midst of difficult circumstances? It was because he believed the promises of God. But because he believed the promises of God, it caused him to follow God's leading in his life. There wasn't any precedent for what was going on. You know, it wasn't like he could pull out get online and look up people who spouse has told them that they're pregnant with the Messiah, you know, and get in some kind of group discussion about, you know, how do we handle this, and what did you go through whenever your wife told you that she was about to give birth to the Messiah, you know. There was no one else that she could turn, or that he could turn to for help. But Joseph's true test of faith was in whether or not he would follow the Lord's leading. You see, he could say, yeah, okay, God, I believe you that Mary is really pregnant with Jesus. Okay, you know, I believe you. You know, but the true test of whether or not he really believed God's promise was what? Was whether or not he was going to go back to Mary and not put her off. Whether or not he was going to go back to Mary and follow what the Lord's leading was in his life. You see, God clearly showed him what to do, and then he allowed Joseph to decide whether or not he was going to do it. You know, one of the things that we tend to forget is that the choice to follow God's leading eventually produces peace in our lives. Many of us do not know peace at this time in our lives because we believe the promises of God, but we oftentimes fail to follow his leading in our lives. I'm not talking about some kind of intangible feeling of you know, I just feel so good. You know, I was in church this morning and I got chill bumps, and it was great. You know, when they sang Silent Night, God was just speaking to me, and it was awesome. You know, I'm not talking about some kind of intangible feelings. I'm talking about the clear declarations from the Word of God about His desires for our lives. Okay, I'm talking about things like where Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." I'm talking about where Jesus said, you know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's a lot of people that are walking around and God has been showing them and God has been drawing them in, showing them that they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, but we've been holding off on that. And we wonder, why isn't there any peace in my life? Well, could it be because God has given us a promise and He's leading us to trust Him in that promise? And because we haven't, there is no peace? For believers, oftentimes, you know, God has made some things really clear, you know. We understand that the Bible gives us some things that, you know, God wants us to do, some things that God doesn't want us to do. And whenever we go against the Word of God, and we're clearly walking in direct opposition to His plan for us, why are we surprised when we don't have peace? It's kind of like Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? You remember that story? God said, "I want you to go down there. I want you to preach to those people down in Nineveh." And He didn't like those people in Nineveh because they were dirty people. I mean, they were wicked, evil people. They killed probably a lot of his relatives. And he said, "Nah, I ain't going down there. That doesn't sound like fun. You know, I hope they die. I hope they go to hell. I don't like them." You may think I'm over-exaggerating, but I believe that really is what Jonah thought. He hated them, okay? And God said, "I want you to go talk to them." And you know, a lot of times the thing God's asked us to do, that's kind of how we feel about it. "I don't think so, you know. I don't think I want to do that. That sounds too hard. That's too difficult." And Jonah thought that too. And Jonah said, "You want me to go to Nineveh? I'm out of here. I'm going to Tarshish." He went the exact opposite way. You know, when he got to Joppa and he got on that ship and he's on his way to Tarshish, do you think that he was sitting there going, "I am just at peace with my life right now"? As the storm started coming in. Because there was a storm, right? The storm came in. And that boat was rocking, and they're all throwing stuff over the edge, and they're going, "Man, somebody ain't right. You know, God's fixing to get us, and it's because of somebody on this boat, you know." And Jonah's back there. You think he was just at perfect peace, you know, cozy as a bug in a rug, and just enjoying life at that moment? No peace. No peace. And they said, "Man, you need to repent. You need to get things right with God." And he said, "No, I don't think so." So what ended up happening? Threw him off the ship. Ate by a whale. That big old fish, he's in the belly. You think there was peace in the belly of that whale? You know, I don't know what pictures you saw on Flannel Graph when you're growing up as a kid, you know, and he's got that little candle. Where'd Jonah get a match, you know, to light a candle, you know, or sticks, you know, to try to start a fire in the, you know, talk about heartburn in the whale, right? How's he gonna do that? I don't think there was a lot of peace in the whale. But you know what happened? After he was 3 days in the whale, he said, "Lord, I know you've been leading me. Go down to Nineveh. I guess I'll do it." What happened? You know, the whale spit him out, and he went over to Nineveh, and God brought a revival. Can I tell you what happens is whenever we begin to understand the way God is leading us and we begin to walk in that direction, there's something that God does that we can't explain, that He produces a peace in our lives. You know, made that whale puke up Jonah. Anybody ever seen a whale puke? I mean, I'm just curious. Anybody ever seen one? I watched Discovery Channel. I've never seen it happen. Anybody ever see it happen? I don't know if they've ever puked in their lives. You know, I don't know how that works. So what made him puke him up, spit him out? There's really only one answer, isn't there? God. You know why we don't have peace in our lives? Number one, we don't believe God's promises. But number two, because we say we believe His promises, but our actions don't really show it because we're not following His leading in our lives. The last thing that we see is with these shepherds. The shepherds were able to have peace in the nativity. It says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, "It came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds came one to another, and let us go now, go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." These shepherds were fearful when the angel appeared unto them. That's why the angel told them to fear not. But their belief in the promise of God led them to seek God. Here they are, they're scared. They're not really sure what to do. But God, the angel said, you need to find God. They needed to seek out God. You know, the last thing that we can do that produces peace in our life, not only believe the promises of God, not only follow the Lord's leading, but we need to seek God in our decisions. Some of us lack peace because we have not sought God's leading in our lives. We'll oftentimes turn to our friends. We'll oftentimes turn to our family. We'll turn to our confidants or our mentors. We'll turn to books, you know, on how to, you know, get self-help in different areas of our lives. And we'll turn to different group processes, and we'll even talk to the pastor and things like that. But, you know who we need to be turning to whenever we're making decisions? We need to be turning to God. You know, people say, hey, will you pray for me about this? Well, I won't pray for you if you're not praying for you. You know, you ought to pray. You ought to seek the Lord's guidance for yourself, you know. God didn't, I'm a preacher, not a pope, all right. I don't tell you what you're supposed to do. God doesn't show me what he wants you to do. God shows you what he wants you to do, okay. And so I would encourage you to do what these shepherds did and seek God. And as we seek him, like the shepherds, we too can have peace in our lives. Can I ask you this? Are you like the shepherds? Are you making a concerted effort to seek God? Listen, Jesus is not just the reason for the season. He is the source of peace. When we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you can't remember a time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and you put all your faith in him, you called upon the name of the Lord and you were saved, is the Bible word that's used. If you can't remember a time that you did that, can I tell you that according to the Word of God, you are an enemy of God? But the Bible says in Romans 5:1 in this passage that we are justified, or we are forgiven, or we are made innocent, not by works, but by what? Faith. Faith in what? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we are able to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But for those of us that are believers, not only do we have peace with God when we know him as our Savior, but when we know Jesus as our Lord, we have the peace of God. We have peace with God when we get saved. We're no longer the enemies of God, but we are his children. But once I'm saved, I can have the peace of God whenever Jesus is truly my Lord. Lord meaning he is the ruler. He is the one that I'm following. He's the one I'm seeking after. He's the one I'm trusting. The things that we do to manufacture peace in our lives can disappear in a moment. Some of us today may be seeking peace through our family, through a job, through money, through our health or assets. But our ultimate confidence must be in God. Do you have peace in your life today? I'm not asking about your circumstances, you know, if it's a drama-free zone or anything like that. But do you have peace in your life? If you've noticed over the last couple of weeks, the theme has been consistent. Do you remember where joy was found? Joy is found in the Word of God. Remember where hope was found? Hope is found in the Word of God. And today we've seen that peace is found through the Word of God as well. You know what the Bible says in John 1? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came and dwelt, took upon himself flesh and came and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word, so joy, hope, and peace are only found through Jesus Christ. The message of Christmas is not joy, hope, and peace. The message of Christmas is Jesus. Because Jesus brings those things. Those things that we want back there, Jesus is the one that brings them. There's a kid in here going, yes, Jesus is putting an Xbox One under the Christmas tree. You know, I hope it's not Donkey Kong, right? Albert Einstein, they say, is one of the smartest men to ever live. He made this statement. He said, peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding. When he made that statement, he was talking about political peace or countries being at peace with one another. He said, you can't make people get along with one another. It can't be achieved by force. It can only be achieved by understanding. There has to be some things that we get up here. Can I tell you, the same thing is true for believers. You can't have peace just by trying really hard. I kind of tried to illustrate that last, 2 weeks ago. I'm going to have joy. I'm ready to be joyful. Oh, my gotta have joy, 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 I gotta have joy. You know, some of us do that with peace. I gotta have peace. I'm gonna try to get all these things worked out. I'm gonna peace, peace, peace. Peace doesn't come by force. Peace only comes through understanding. And that understanding is based upon the promises of the Word of God. If I believe them, if I follow them, and I seek them, I can expect God to produce the peace that I desire. Whether they're good circumstances or bad, those are the things that God desires for us. If you don't know peace this morning, there's only one reason. It's because you don't know Jesus. If you don't know peace this morning, it's because you don't know Jesus. You may be sitting there going, well, I don't have a whole lot of peace in my life, and I know Jesus because I know I'm saved. Well, you're right. You probably do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but is He your Lord? Are you walking after Him? Are you seeking Him like these shepherds did? Are you obeying Him like Joseph did? Are you trusting Him like Mary did? If I don't know Him at the level that they knew Him, then how can I expect Him to produce peace in my life? All I want for Christmas is peace. Let's pray together.